are Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And yes, day two of the Grand European Tour. No, it's not really a Grand European Tour. I'm in Prague. I mentioned this to you guys yesterday. So the show is coming to you from a faraway place. And we're committed to bringing you the show every night, rain or shine. And we're like the post office, but before the Democrats took control of it. So here I am enjoying the weather. It is, it is actually rainy here, quite a bit rainy, and keeping warm and all that good stuff. But boy, is there there's just great stuff going. I'm going to talk about stuff going on back home. I've got to before I give you some thoughts here on where I'm at and let you know what things look like over here. So news, if you haven't heard today, so this is a guy, Joe Klein. He's an investigative reporter, an author. He's written a number of books on the Clintons. And, he's considered, so this isn't a guy who's not a wingnut. He researches this. He talks to a lot of people. And just because the Clintons say that, he gets things wrong or he doesn't have things exactly right, he is somebody who's considered fairly credible. And again, he does extensive research. So he's got this new book coming out, "Guilty as Sin," and it's all about the FBI investigation, which we know is about Hillary's leaked emails and the FBI investigation of it. Now we know we're starting to piece together here that the investigation was set up from the beginning to let Hillary off, and we've always. People have gone back and forth and have considered, why? So Obama, right, going back to the 2008 campaign, Obama certainly was, even though he won, Clinton, that was a brutal primary. You want to talk about brutal primaries. I mean, nothing in 2016 was anything like 2008. And we forget it pretty quickly, but the things that were said back and forth, there was bad blood between the Clintons and the Obamas, and that is for sure. And that bad blood, by the way, if you'll remember, continued for several years, even to the point at, one time, remember when Bill Clinton was complaining to somebody? This is interesting. He was complaining about Obama, how Obama never turns to him for advice. And he called Obama. Remember when Bill Clinton called Obama the amateur? Because he's looking at Obama not being able to get anything through Congress. And remember, Bill is the ultimate charmer, right? Clinton, he's the guy who was able to go to Congress and absolutely get things done and was very good at that. So, Bill's frustrated. He goes, the guy never calls me. I got more calls from George Bush, okay, than I'm getting from Obama, just to give you a little perspective. So there's bad blood that continued for years. And now, suddenly we're to believe that everything is all peaches and cream, land of unicorns, fairies and elves, candy everywhere. Because lo and behold, I mean, you saw the Democratic National Convention. It looked like it was fairyland. The Clintons, the Obamas. And, it leaves you scratching your head. For anybody who's followed the drama and followed the bad blood and the feuding that's gone on between the two families, the two wings, the fight for the Democratic Party, right? I mean, that's basically what it's been. And now we're to believe that Hillary is basically Obama's anointed successor. So what is it? And now it turns out, so according to Ed Klein, there's an interesting theory afoot about this. And the theory is, quite simply, that Obama didn't want Hillary to run. I mean, he begged Joe Biden. Joe Biden was his chosen successor. And then when Joe Biden kind of bowed out, he went to Pocahontas. I am a crazy senator. So Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. He went to her and he hoped that she would, take up the fight. And when Warren didn't take the fight up, who was he left with? I mean, Hillary was his best pick. But the theory on why he considered her to be the best pick was because Obama knew from the beginning, he knew that Hillary had serious health problems. And so what Obama ended up doing is strongly suggesting and pushing for, maybe possibly even making it conditional of his support, that Hillary pick Tim Kaine. Remember crazy Tim Kaine from the debate the other night? And Tim Kaine, even though he did have some serious Clinton connections going back to the Bill Clinton era, he was someone who had endorsed Obama and had been firmly in Obama's camp since 2008. In fact, he endorsed Obama early, and he never at any point endorsed Hillary Clinton in the 2008 race. So what they're looking for, I think the expression, what is it, the Manchurian candidate? You know, when you have your little sneak in of somebody who's going to continue your work or be your guy on the inside. So, but you got to understand, look at it from Obama's perspective. And this is something that we don't do, but we, you know, think of it like any job. You've done a job, you've been somewhere for 8 years, you've invested yourself, you have put your mark on the position. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you could be a lawyer, you could be a farmer, whatever job you have, you've put your mark on it. And I do not doubt for a minute that Obama, one, has put his mark on this country, okay? I'm not going to dispute that, not one bit. And two, I'm also a firm believer that he thinks he's done a good job. I mean, he doesn't want a President Trump to come in and unravel Obamacare. He doesn't want his social platform to be rolled back. So Obama and most presidents are keenly invested in ensuring that their legacy is maintained and that their successor, whoever it is that comes into the White House after them, is going to do everything to make sure that their work is not undone. And it's really just like in the real world and in work, you know, you do something and then you'd love, ideally, you know, if you've been involved in a big project at work, ideally your successor is going to continue that. And so that it's really no different than that. And I think, you know, I really think that this is credible. And it rings true, and it does explain a bit of the behind the scenes intrigue. Because behind the scenes, I know there's terrible blood. Did you guys see the, what is it, where was it that, was it Steve Harvey that Hillary did that interview? You guys see this? So Steve Harvey interviews Clinton, and she's got all the questions ahead of time, right? She's been given everything beforehand. In other words, she knows exactly everything that Harvey's going to ask her. And when he asked her some inane question that's supposedly meant to surprise her, she just does one of these, And I mean, this lady is the ultimate faker. She's so good. Did you guys see that? Did you see that? I mean, it was it unbelievable. And so you know, I'm looking at, you know, I'm always an examiner of body language. I want to see what people are doing, and I think that sometimes, a lot of times, the words that come out of your mouth are not the same as what your body is telling you. The body is a part of you that's hard. It's harder to train your body to lie. And so I'm looking at the Democratic National Convention. I know we're going back a few months, but do you remember? I mean, this is not the Clintons and the Obamas. It's not a warm embrace. In fact, if you remember back to 2008 and the choice to make Hillary Clinton Secretary of State, you remember who was most opposed to that violently? That's right. Michelle Obama. Michelle couldn't stand Hillary. Not one bit at all. And if you're going to say, oh, but Sam, look, it's all about Trump. As soon as Trump emerged as a front runner, I mean, you know, the deal was in. I mean, yeah, you know, they're going to bury their bad blood just to make Trump go away. And I'm telling you, yes, but only to a point. It's all about the legacy. And it's really, this is very important to understand, because it really then comes down to why this race matters so much, this particular election. Because it's, you know, it's not just a question of extending another. It really is a question of extending another, giving Obama another term and extending the terrible destructive forces of his presidency. But it's also certainly a vote. I mean, it's the establishment candidate. And I think, you know, as I look at this, as I try to, well, when you go on vacation, you sometimes, when you leave town, you back away from something and you're able to see it a little more clearly. And so I'm over here. It's been a day. I'm walking the streets of Europe, of Prague here, and enjoying a little bit of time to reflect. And so I'm stepping away from the intense political vortex that I'm in at home. And yes, that's exactly. So I'm able to get a little bit of a perspective on it. And I'm telling you, not in my lifetime do I remember such a true outside change candidate running under a major party. I really don't. And I really don't remember it ever. You could say, you know, Ross Perot was a contender, and he was the third party candidate. And Obama, of course, yes, Obama was the hope and change candidate. But we know that's nonsense. I mean, the guy was a career politician. He was a senator. He was a state senator. He'd been in politics his entire life. I mean, any work that he did in the real world, anything that he brought in as an outsider was just tangential and window dressing. So it's for the first time there's a guy who's an outsider who has, you know, who has a chance at becoming president. And I'm telling you, this is why it's so scary to the Obamas that they're willing to bury the hatchet with Cruella DeVille. You know, Hillary the, you know what? Because I bet they've got nicknames for her. I guarantee it. you're nodding. Yeah, they probably have some terrible nicknames for her at the Obama dining room table. Positive of it. But they're making a bed with her. Okay, they're getting in bed with Hillary because the thought of an outsider. Just the same way that we see the media reacting and getting the vapors. It's something that really does threaten to upset order. And I think one of the great parallels to what's going on right now in the U.S. in the 2016 election, I think, is Brexit, which is why a lot of the Brexit people are keenly interested for the first time in American politics. And by that, I mean Nigel Farage and a few others. Remember what happened there with the polling? Can we talk about that for a minute? I mean, the polling up until the day, I mean, the exit polling on the day of the election, the exit polling looked like a total bloodbath for Brexit. Meaning that the vote to leave looked like it was crushed by the vote to stay. And for some inexplicable reason, I can explain it, and I have in the past, you know, suddenly we woke up in the morning and Britain by a sizable margin, no matter how much the media chose to whitewash it, by a sizable margin voted to leave. And it's because now is the time that the people have had it with political elites, have had it with the status quo, have had it with their ridiculous deficits, with entanglements around the world that are nonsensical, that bring nothing but death and destruction everywhere we go. Stupid, inane, weak foreign policy, trade deals that just suck, benefit everybody else but us. And along comes this guy, Donald Trump, who's crazier than anything, but people, it's resonating, and the elites cannot figure it out. The media is tripping over itself, trying to make excuses for Hillary and demonize and vilify candidate Trump. So it's just an absolutely fantastic time to be alive and to be a political observer. All right, when we come back, I want to, speaking of deficits, I got to tell you, I want to talk about this. I saw something on Czech TV about taxes and about deficit. I just saw it today, and it was absolutely, it was actually a little bit sad as an American, I got to tell you. All right, we'll be back after this. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Spanish songs in Andalusia. There's tune inside in the days of 39. Oh, please leave the Vendano.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Because very few of us walk into a job interview and say, I am the bomb. I am the best thing ever. I am God's greatest gift. And your employer goes, oh my gosh, yes you are. Please, I'm begging you right now, corner office, please work for me. That usually doesn't happen. That only happens to people like Ryan Seacrest.
And we're back, Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you straight from the Czech Republic, heart of Europe. That's right, the show is on the road. It's like Air Force One, you know, when the president's on the plane, it's Air Force One, and the minute he's off of it, it's like Sam 29000 or whatever the call sign of it is. So it's like that. The show is wherever I am, and right now, the show is in the Czech Republic. All right. Good stuff. We're talking about, well, all right. I had this crazy thing. I'm watching TV in my hotel room. And I told you yesterday, I promised that I would try to soak up some Czech media, some European news reports, get a taste or a flavor of what they think of us, right? What they think of the political race. And instead I almost cried. Let me tell you what happened. So they've got this press conference detailing some numbers. The government here has released some numbers, basically the status of the economy. And the premise of the press conference, of course, was that it was good news. Well, why was it good news? Well, let me tell you. We're in October, and they are in the black, meaning, okay, before you make it a racial thing, they are not running a deficit. They have this is a word I need to introduce everyone to. I know we haven't heard it in a while. A surplus. I'll let that sink in for a minute. The entire country is running on a surplus. If I wasn't already in bed watching TV, I would have fallen over. I mean, you know, so the number, of course, I mean, yeah, I get it. You're going to say, well, it's a small country. It's a 10.5 million people. But, you know, look, if the guy that makes 50 grand can't balance his checkbook, the guy making $1 million a year, I mean, he can't, it has nothing to do with that. It's all a question of scale, right? I mean, this is the equivalent of the guy who makes 50 grand balancing his checkbook just fine, and the guy bringing home $2 million a year squanders it all and then ends up in credit card debt. I mean, that's what this is like. And so I'm thinking about it here, and I forgot the best part. So the Minister of Finance is reporting these numbers, and it's all kind of dry, and he stops. He goes, you know, we're getting a lot of tax receipts. There's a value added tax here, and it's provided by businesses, many of whom are you know, entrepreneurial small businesses that sell goods or provide certain types of services that are taxed with this VAT. And he actually said, now he goes, now a significant some portion of our income has come from this, and also from income from these from small businesses. And he goes, I just want to take a moment, and this is where I almost fell down again. I would like to take a moment to thank all the businesses and all the companies and all the individuals who have paid their taxes. Now, yeah, well, it wasn't a dig at Donald Trump, but I'm telling you, this is Can you, do you know, do you ever send money to the government, like to say to California or to the feds? And don't you think that they should send you a little thank you card? I mean, you know, when you get your W-2 and you see all the money that they've taken out of your check, wouldn't you like a kiss or a rose or something? Right? This is, I mean, here the government was actually thanking people for paying their taxes. I thought this is amazing. This is amazing. But but now let's talk about some depressing numbers. I had a look just for, you know, curious. I know everybody talks about the $20 trillion national debt that we have. That's more than doubled under Obama. But that's only part of the story. The real question here is how far we're in the hole every month, right? Every month, how far we're in the hole. What would you guess that is? I mean, well, I'll give you the annual numbers, right? 2016, we're projected to be $600 billion. $600 billion in the hole. That's like almost $200 billion more than it was last year. It's crazy. We're literally spending money that we don't have. So, we have some ideas of where we can save some cash. Don't we, Robbie? We got some ideas. And I think you'll like them. But it's a good list. All right, so we'll be back after this with our list. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back after this.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And so we're talking about, so the show's coming to you from Europe. Fair disclosure, I'm in the Czech Republic. It's very early in the morning. If I sound delirious, I might be. But rain or shine, this program must go on. So wherever I may be in the world, I pledge. If there's a show to be done and I am to entertain you and inform you, on an evening in Los Angeles, I don't care what time it is, I'm going to be here at the microphone and bring you the program. So, with that said, we were talking about the Czech news. I was telling you that I almost dropped dead when I heard in the news that they've got a surplus. The whole budget has a surplus, meaning the country has spent less money than they've brought in, which seems like it should be how a country operates, but, you know, I'm just a talk show host. So, we thought about there's got to be some ways to spend money, to save money. Now, there are ways to spend money. Obama's found all those because the national debt of $20 trillion is more than doubled since the time he became president. Staggering. In 8 years, more than doubled. Now, you know, there's all these stories of waste. You know, there's do you remember the hipster one? That was good. The National Institute of Health spent $5 million on hipster parties. They're trying to go into nightclubs. I mean, this was, I only know about this because producer Robbie was tipped off. Given that he's our ambassador to the hipster community, he was able to report back on these things. So yeah, $5 million. I know what you're saying. $5 million. There's a $600 billion deficit. I mean, yeah. What's $5 million here and there? But don't you know from your own finances that if you've got to cut back, you know, if you've ever, I remember one time I was a student and I got into a lot of stupid credit card debt. Most of us have been in that position. And there's only one way to get out of it. I mean, unless you BK and do that, there's only one way to get out of it. You've got to make a budget. You've got to stick to it. You find that every $20 matters. Every place where you can cut, it matters. And you can dig yourself out of a hole. It's not fun. It certainly takes a while, but you can do it. And millions of Americans do it all the time. We're expected to do it. And yet our government doesn't. But here's the more, when you take away all these sort of headline grabbing stories of stupid things government does with money. You know, I'm here in Europe, and I'm looking at this country that's in the black. Now, they're a part of NATO. And we've heard a lot about NATO, haven't we? It's been in the news. And you know, when people talk about NATO, Americans back home, we our eyes sort of glaze over, right? We kind of NATO is somewhere in Europe. I don't know what about da, 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 right? And then the crazy guy Trump comes along. He's like, yo, we gotta pay our fair share. Europeans pay their fair share. Da 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 da. And everybody in the news media, oh my gosh, Trump, how can you do it? You're upsetting the apple cart. The world order, the world is gonna fall apart. Oh, you can't do the world order. What a buffoon. Well, you know, here's something to think about, okay? The Czech Republic, the country that I am in right now, is protected by NATO. Now, it ostensibly participates in NATO. And NATO, by the way, is the organization of it's a military alliance that was set up originally by the United States to protect Europe and basically prevent from another World War II from happening, okay? Well, really to protect Western Europe from Soviet aggression back during the Cold War. And when people say that Trump is crazy about his NATO thing, I want to tell you when we come back why he really isn't. If you look at the makeup of, and it's just a budget thing, I know it sounds, but when you just look at the math, it will blow your mind what we pay to keep Europe safe. So let me tell you more about that. All right, we'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
It shouldn't matter, right? In school, it shouldn't matter what you think. It should matter how you present your opinion and how you argue it out. The answer isn't necessarily what matters. It's how you get there. Because that's you exercising your brain muscle. Back we are. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And, you know what's really interesting? The show's coming to you from the Czech Republic, and I'm in the city, you know, and there's trams everywhere, cars, and then people are playing Pokemon Go here. Can you believe this is what happened? The world has gone mad. So the last thing in the world I would want to do in a city like this is be looking down at my cell phone, trying to catch Pokemons. I'm looking at this guy, and he's walking through traffic and crossing the road. And you know what's funny here? Cars, you know, in the crosswalk, you don't have an automatic right of way. Other cars have to yield to you. But trams, you know, little train track trams, they have the right of way, even in a crosswalk. And those things are freaking lethal. I mean, that hits you and it's over. I mean, you're going up to the pearly gates. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't think they have Sweet James here. There's no Sweet James in the Czech Republic, but there ought to be because I'm convinced that people are getting creamed left and right. So look, if you get hit by a tram somewhere in Orange County, well, you've been on quite a bender. I'll tell you that, but it might be the least of your problems. But look, if you've been in any accident or injured by anything, you know, a defective product even, or had some crazy, you know, bar bouncer beat you up. Yeah, what you need to do is you need to call the attorney we trust. His name is James Bergner. He's a great guy. His friends call him Sweet James, and when you talk to him, you'll know why. Now, he's recovered millions and millions and millions of dollars for his clients. He's done very well, but he it's not just about the money. It's about the heart that he puts into your case. So make sure that if you or a loved one need a good personal injury lawyer, there's one guy to call, Sweet James. What's the phone number? We all know it, don't we? 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right. So we were talking about NATO a minute ago. How's that for a segue? Straight from Sweet James to NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So this is, everybody's been talking about this lately. Like, it's come out of the woodwork because, you know, Trump's been firing off salvos, how he's going to trim up NATO a little bit. And so I'm, you know, and I'm, I've got in, oh, well, just a reminder, right? So this is a, this is a treaty that was entered in between certain countries in Europe. Originally, there were fewer than there are now. It's expanded quite a bit. And the idea behind it was that there was a real fear after the war that the Soviet Union was gonna gobble up the rest of Europe. And so when they founded this state, it was a mutual support, a mutual military support treaty that said that America would protect and other member states would protect another state if it was attacked. An attack on one is an attack on all. So the Soviet Union couldn't attack just one small country without incurring the wrath of a bunch of different other countries. Now, Trump has said we got to scale this back, and I had a look at some of these numbers. NATO, okay, the U.S. spends $610 billion on NATO. You know what's funny? Hey, what's our deficit in 2016? Huh? $600 billion. Now, I'm not saying we bounce completely on NATO, but when he says they should pay their fair share, I mean, everybody's telling Trump he needs to pay his fair share. So when Trump says to NATO, you got to, hey, fools, pay your fair share. Do you know what the rest of NATO, all the countries in NATO, and this includes the country that I am in right now, all together, they spent only $314 billion. So America, just us, we, you and I, our tax dollars, we spend two times what all the other countries that are the ones who benefit from this protection. That's all they pay. That's messed up. And Trump's right to point this out. And you may not like him. You may not like what he says. You might be a woman that thinks that he's just a total horrible person. But a lot of what he's saying, the media is dismissing as crazy, but really in reality, it's not. Staggering numbers. All right, we'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. Plenty of good stuff straight ahead. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you from Prague, Czech Republic. Early morning here. I'm 9 hours ahead. This is the voice of the future talking to you. Well, we're just going over some stuff here and talking about NATO and our budget. And the budget here, the country that I'm in right now, just announced that they are operating on a budget surplus. And the irony of it, of course, is that they are a huge recipient of NATO protection, right? Where they're part of the NATO treaty. And we're talking about how, you know, we spend our part in NATO, we spend $610 billion, and all the countries put together that benefit from our protection and our participation in NATO, they all only spend about $300 billion combined. So no wonder the Czechs are in the black, right? It'd be really easy. You know, it reminds me of you've got a friend, right? And he's the friend that picks up the check all the time. He's the guy who's always picking up the bill. You guys go out to dinner, you go out to drinks, and they're always picking up the bill. Only that friend is totally broke. His credit cards are all maxed out, but he's like Mr. Generous, you know, and he can't say no. We are that guy. America is the guy who cannot stop picking up the check, cannot stop being Mr. Generous. And even though the accountant has been sitting us down for more than a few years saying, you know, you really can't be affording this. It's just crazy. So you know what? The moral of the story is don't just dismiss Trump because the media dismisses Trump. He makes some very valid points. And you can't, you know, please do not, you're listening to this program because you want to get the straight scoop. And if you want a scoop of something else that's hot, steaming, and smelly, tune into CNN. That's all I can tell you. All right. Well, listen, tomorrow we got the Kings game, so no show. I get 3 days off, and then I will be back at the microphone from the Czech Republic for my last European show on Monday, 7 p.m. I'm looking forward to that. All right, well, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Kings, and be safe. Be safe. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.